Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. Today we continue with our series on human sexuality. Dr. Jennings gave these presentations a few years back to a group of parents and teenagers. I think it's safe to say that some new perspectives were developed in the minds of many that day, and I pray the same thing happens during this broadcast as well. When we ended our last program, Dr. Jennings was explaining what happens when humans engage in sexual activities without the protective shelter of a loving relationship, one that's found in most marriages. He continues with that line of thought today. Let's listen.
Premarital sex, what happens in our mind? What happens in our brain? What happens in these circuitries when we're having premarital sex? Well, first, our prefrontal cortex convicts us. We get a sense of guilt. We get a sense of fear. We worry. All this kind of stuff happens. And how do we resolve the guilt? Well, there are only two ways to resolve guilt. And guilt is a very destructive emotion. It fires the amygdala. And I don't think I mentioned this, but I'll just go tell you. If the amygdala never turns off, if the fear center never winds down, even though we had our fire chief holding our 911 operator in check, if the amygdala keeps firing, that stress hormone, it will activate peripherally in your body your macrophages, your white blood cells. And your macrophages begin releasing toxic little terrorists, inflammatory factors called cytokines. And these cytokines do terrible things through our body. They damage insulin receptors in our body. They cause neurotransmission problems so that if I were to take just a syringe full of cytokines and inject into you, within a few hours, you would be experiencing terrible aches and pains all over your body, appetite disturbance, sleep disturbance, concentration impairments, and extreme fatigue and malaise. These are what these inflammatory factors do. Now, these inflammatory factors cross into the blood-brain barrier and cause a cascade of inflammation in the brain, which begin damaging the white cells of our brain, which support the neurons, and ultimately suppress genes in our brain that keep our brain healthy and lead to depression. This is what happens when this cascade of stress doesn't turn off. The stress diathesis leads to all this physical health problems and mental health problems. So how do we resolve guilt? We want to resolve guilt because guilt keeps that amygdala turned on. Well, we have God's way, repentance and, if possible, restoration, experiencing through God's grace a new heart and a right spirit, and then the guilt is resolved and we can move on in peace because we've been changed and we've experienced reconciliation. But there is another way to avoid the guilt, and that way is denial and distortion. It wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. She wouldn't have brought me that fruit. I wouldn't have done anything. I'm okay. She's the one with the problem. Denial and distortion. But denial and distortion damages the mind. You've ever heard that statement, he's bending the truth, she's twisting the truth? You've heard that? Truth can't be bent or twisted. Truth is truth. So imagine a telephone pole we're looking at, and I hold a lens up between you and the pole, and now you look at the pole through the pole appears bent. Have we bent the pole? Pole's still straight. We've only bent our view of the pole. This is what people do to avoid guilt. They have to bend their view of the world, and they have to put this lens on their mind. And it's not just on this one issue. Once the lens, once this warp, once this distorted lie they've got in their mind is there, they take it with them everywhere. And if you've ever met people like this, think about this. You're looking at the telephone pole without a lens. They're looking at the pole through the lens, but they don't know they're wearing a lens. Will you ever convince them the pole's straight? Have you talked to people like this? They just don't seem reasonable. The evidence doesn't seem to have any. They twist everything you say. They've got warped minds because they're avoiding something in their life that will bring conviction and guilt. And the only way to unwarp the mind is by the truth. As we bring truth back into the mind, it unwarps and takes this lens away. So how are we changed with premarital sex? With this type of guilt leading to denial and distortion and all these other things that damages us. Now, even more interesting is a brain hormone called oxytocin. Oxytocin produced by your hypothalamus and secreted by your pituitary gland. What does oxytocin do? Now, this is going to be fascinating because this is where we get into human bonding and connection and relationships. Oxytocin outside the brain causes the uterus to contract to start labor and help expel the baby during labor and delivery. So that's one of its roles outside the brain. And outside the brain, it also causes the milk to be produced and released during breastfeeding. But in the brain, oxytocin in the brain causes neurologic changes that give us a sense of bonding to another person. And this is non-cognitive bonding. In other words, it's not a purposeful choice to be bonded and feel close to somebody. So if oxytocin is being secreted in a relationship that is enjoyable, pleasurable, and you're going to find in a moment it requires the combination with dopamine, if that happens, then you will feel bonded to somebody, a close kinship. And the more oxytocin, the stronger the bond, without even making a choice to do so. The oxytocin also calms the fear centers. So you become more calm, less fearful when you have oxytocin release. It lowers the blood pressure, lowers the heart rate, and lowers the stress hormone levels circulating. Oxytocin increases the sense of trust. So if oxytocin is being secreted and you're feeling that close bond, you're feeling a greater sense of trust in that person. And this, again, is not necessarily cognitive trust. It causes a selective amnesia. Selective amnesia, so that you remember the good things and you forget the painful and bad times. It actually airbrushes your memory. And one evidence for that is, why would a woman ever have a child again after going through labor? There was huge oxytocin releases that airbrushed the memory. Oh, it was painful. It wasn't that bad. Okay? It was worth it. You know, but that's one of the things it does. It also reduces pain sensitivity, so you can tolerate more pain when oxytocin is being secreted. It decreases tolerance to drugs, which means it diminishes the risks of addiction. And it decreases social aggression, improving social recognition, and more. Basically, it's like social lubricant. We get along with people better when we have more oxytocin, except in one place. And that is if someone threatens the object of your love. For instance, moms, you got this huge oxytocin surge at birth, and you've got this great bond to your infant, and you're down at the nursery, and you see somebody coming and stealing somebody else's baby. Well, you would do whatever you could, call the alarm, call the police, scream, holler. If somebody's trying to take your baby, does a vicious, violent woman come out? Okay? Yes, because that oxytocin bonded you, that it will cause you to be extremely aggressive if somebody threatens the one you're bonded to. So other than that, it actually reduces aggressiveness. Now, psychiatric disorders are linked to oxytocin. There is a variant of obsessive compulsive disorder that in families without Tourette's syndrome, you can have from too much oxytocin. Now think, oxytocin is the chemical that causes bonding. OCD is this, I'm overly sticky, can't let go of stuff. So too much oxytocin can cause a variant of OCD. Decreased oxytocin receptors in the amygdala, that's the fear center, is associated with anxiety disorders, both social anxiety and generalized anxiety. And then elevated oxytocin receptors, too many of these receptors in the amygdala, is associated with a syndrome called Williams syndrome. Now, Williams syndrome is interesting. It happens because on chromosome number 7, they're missing 25 genes. And for whatever reason, because those genes are missing, they get extra oxytocin receptors in the amygdala. And these kids, if they have this disorder, people with this disorder have no social fears or no social apprehensions at all. A child will walk into a strange room and they will act to every person like they're their brother or sister or mom or dad. They just love everybody. They have no strangers. They have no apprehensions, warnings, or guards at all, because the amygdala is completely just turned off. There's no fear. There's no apprehension. That's Williams syndrome. It's very dangerous, as you can imagine, for young kids. You have to really watch them because they don't have any normal apprehensions. And there's another disorder, see if anybody can guess what it is, which is an absolute reduction in oxytocin receptors and oxytocin production. And it's just the opposite of Williams syndrome. Autism. Autism is associated, this is kids that don't socially connect at all, and they're in their own world, and it's associated with oxytocin impairments in the brain. So, activities now which increase oxytocin. Think of all these things it's doing to us. Wow, this could be a very powerful thing on us. What increases oxytocin in our brain? First thing is childbirth, where they put your child in your arms, you have this really powerful bonding that occurs right immediately postpartum. And then activities which increase it, not only childbirth, but breastfeeding. So every time a woman breastfeeds her child, there's more oxytocin surges, which enhance that bonding. This is one of the reasons moms often have a closer bond with their kids than dads. Dads didn't get these big oxytocin surges. See, it's not that we're really not so sweet and loving. All right, skin-to-skin touching. But this is pleasurable skin-to-skin touching. People down in Abu Ghraib or some prison, they're getting tortured for information with the fist hit in the face. That skin-to-skin touching is not going to get a lot of oxytocin releasing. It has to be skin-to-skin touching that is enjoyable or pleasurable, that you're voluntarily participating in, not something that is frightening you and terrifying you. Massage, for instance, can cause oxytocin release. Hugs causes it. Sexual foreplay, intercourse, and orgasm increase oxytocin release. relational activities that are non-stressful, nurturing, and pleasurable all cause oxytocin. This is how friendships bond over time. As we spend time together, we enjoy each other, we feel good with each other, we get oxytocin, we have this bonding and kinship and friendship. But interestingly enough, relationships which involve trust, not only does oxytocin increase trust, when you extend trust to somebody, it results in oxytocin increases. Now, combat and mission trips. If anybody knows anything about combat, you'll know that some of the closest human bonds forged happen in combat. People coming back from combat will have closer relationships oftentimes than with family members. And the reason for that has to do with the trust issue. You see, in combat, people will find themselves where their absolute life is on the line, and they are out there with somebody that they completely trust with their life. That requires huge oxytocin surges. And when that happens, there's this forge, this bond that happens. Why is that important for you to understand? Because you want to be careful on what trips you send your kids on. This is why a lot of times, see, kids go on a mission trip. They're in a foreign land. No one speaks the language. The culture's all different. They have heightened sense of anxiety, apprehension. And there is, you know, somebody in their class that speaks the same language they can connect to, they feel safe with, they trust and extend trust to like they've never trusted before. They're going to get huge oxytocin surges, and they're going to come back in love. I love him. I didn't realize I loved him. But we went on this trip. We have so much in common. It's oxytocin, okay? Oxytocin surges. So you have to be careful, this type of stuff. Trials and trust. Trials and trust. This goes back now to our spiritual. Understanding this oxytocin, understanding trusting someone with your life, with your circumstances, causes oxytocin shifts. Read this in the scriptures, 1 Peter. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so your faith, what's another word for faith? Trust. So your trust of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it is refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise and glory. So we find ourselves in trials and difficulties and we extend our trust in God. We're going to get oxytocin surges, which are going to bond us closer and closer to God. But only if you're not afraid of God. Because after all this stuff I've told you, and this is why what we do in our class, constantly trying to promote the truth about God that takes away fear. Fear impairs oxytocin. Activities that decrease oxytocin is stress, adrenaline, cortisol, your fear hormones impair the release of oxytocin. That's why if somebody is giving you a massage, but they are maybe like some rapist and some like perverted thing and you've got a gun to your head, you're not going to get oxytocin surges, okay? Fear is like suppressing that whole thing. And that's a good thing. You wouldn't want to bond to your rapist, right? Okay? So it's good it's designed this way, but spiritually, if we have fear of God, it impairs our union, our unity, our oneness with Him. And the meaning of all this, what's the importance of it? That the best sex occurs in a healthy, loving marriage. Because the best sex happens when there's very little stress, very little anxiety, very little worry, very little pain. None of this partying out on the street and picking somebody up in a bar.
Well, with that, we have to end our broadcast for today. I invite you back on our next show. We'll pick up right where we left off. You can also listen to these podcasts online at commonreason.com. A lot of wonderful resources there that Dr. Jennings and his team have made available for you to enjoy and to benefit from. That's all at commonreason.com. Like I said, we'll continue right where we left off on our next broadcast. So make sure you join us at that time. Until then, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.